You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's so good to be with you. Hey, would you join me in welcoming our church family online? We're one church, whether we're in person or online, so we want to welcome you. For those of you joining us online, we love you. Heart emojis to you. Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be together. I want to say a special welcome to our first-time guests. For those of you joining us in person for the first time, those of you joining us online for the first time, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor. We're so glad you're with us today. Welcome to all of you. Just before we get into the message, I have one special announcement. For those of you joining us online, we're going to be receiving communion at the end of the message. So if you haven't heard already, go ahead and get your elements ready at home. Get some crackers, some bread, some juice, some wine, so you can be prepared to receive communion with me and all these lovely people who are here with us at the Carver Center. So if you're thinking about coming out, we want to see you next Sunday or come out for 11 o'clock. But however you're joining us, in person or online, we're just so glad that we can be together today as we're continuing our 21 Days of Prayer series, because tomorrow we are officially kicking off 21 Days of Prayer. And what we do this time of year, we just encourage everybody in our church to get back into the habit of daily prayer. There's just something about doing this together. There's just something about prioritizing this at the beginning of the year, saying, hey, God, we're going after everything you have for us. Come on, how many of you want everything that God has for you in 2021? You want to be closer to him? I just really believe that if you get closer to God, everything in your life is going to get better. I don't believe all your problems are going to go away, but I believe you're going to get through 2021 in a lot better way, a lot stronger, a lot more healthy. And so that's what we're doing. We're going after God. We're prioritizing our spiritual health, our relationship with God, by getting into this 21 days of prayer. And we're going to encourage everybody to do some form of fasting. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. I want to remind you and let you know that we have some really great resources for you on our website. If you haven't found those yet, take out your phone, go to our website, redemptioncommunitychurch.org, scroll down, you'll see 21 days of prayer. You might need to refresh the website to make sure you get the latest updates there. But we've got all kinds of great resources for you. We've got prayer guides for adults, for the kids, because we want to get the kids involved as well. We've got fasting guides to help you think about what kind of fast you might want to do. Maybe you want to fast, a meal a day, or do a digital fast, unplug from social media, or some kind of fast, a Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables. But there's lots of ideas for you there. We've got playlists for you to worship to. We've got some suggested Bible reading plans in the Bible app. We've got links to a few good books you might want to consider. So really great resources. Take advantage of that. Check that out on our homepage if you haven't already. That's going to be a really great resource for you. And, speaking of 21 days of prayer, I don't think there's a better thing that we could do to start this new year off, especially this time that we're going through as a country, than to really prioritize prayer. I'm sure, like many of you, my heart is heavy today coming into this Sunday after the kind of week we've had, what we saw at the Capitol this week. Never in my lifetime did I think I would see something like that. I just think a peaceful transition of power is something that we've always taken for granted. It's just such an essential thing, a part of being American. And, I'm not going to get into all that because we've all been watching the news this week, but there's one thing that really disappointed me that I want to speak to you for just a moment, and then we're going to pray for our nation. And that is, in the mob of people that made their way into the Capitol, there were some people waving flags that say Jesus saves and all kind of Christian symbols. And, that really leaves the world wondering, where do Christians stand on this? What do Christians believe? I've had unchurched people reaching out to me on social media wanting to know, hey, where do Christians stand on all this? And here's what I want to say. And this isn't a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or conservative thing. I want to speak for just a moment as to what we believe as Christians. First of all, I want to say this. Christians don't advocate for violence. Come on, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Let's be very clear here. Whether it's a BLM rally or a Trump rally, Christians don't advocate for violence. That is not the way of Jesus. Let me be very clear. Let me also be very clear that Christianity and nationalism do not go together, okay? John 3:16, help me out. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We are blessed to live in this nation, but the kingdom of God is much bigger than the United States of America. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on. It's a global vision. It's bigger than us. And I don't know why I would have to say this, but let me just say this one more time. Christianity and racism never go together. You cannot hold the Confederate flag in one hand and the cross in the other hand. We believe that all people are made in the image of God, that Jesus gave his life for all people. And so if the world is wanting to know, like, that's our message. Our message is a message of hope, of love, of humility, of reconciliation. And so let's just take a moment to pray for our nation. And maybe you want to make that one of your prayer focuses over the next 21 days. You want to dedicate some time to pray for our nation. I think that would be a really good focus. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name that's above every other name. We lift up the name of Jesus over our nation. And Lord, today we recognize that our nation is broken. And we speak healing to our nation today. Father, we pray that you would do what only you can do. That God, you would help bring us together. That you would reverse the spirit of division, the spirit of disunity in our nation. Father, we're asking for us as the church that you would do it in us first. That we would be your people, that we would be faithful to your calling. God, forgive us for the times that we've drifted from our mission, that we've drifted from who we're called to be. And God, we're asking you to make us your hands and your feet, your people, that we would embody your gospel, your message of hope, your message of healing, your message of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, a message of reconciliation. Father, we ask you to touch our nation. Father, we pray for our leaders, for our new president, for our new vice president. God, our hope isn't ultimately in them, but we pray for our leaders. We lift them up. God, we pray over these next few days for a peaceful transition of power. We say, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in the United States as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Let's be praying for our country over the next few days. Well, today I want to talk to you about something that I really believe has the potential to greatly impact your spiritual life, your effectiveness in prayer, that has great potential to affect your spiritual growth. And I want to talk to you about the spiritual habit of fasting. You know, we're talking about prayer, and fasting is like adding jet fuel to the fires of your prayers. And so we're going to be encouraging everybody to do some form of fasting over these next few weeks from now to the end of the month. And the interesting thing is that fasting has really gotten popular in our culture. A lot of people are doing intermittent fasting. Some of you have maybe tried that as a weight loss technique. I've done a little intermittent fasting. We know that juicing has gotten really popular. People kind of going on a cleanse and a purge, you know, doing a juicing kind of fast. And it's always fascinating to me when our culture catches up to something that the people of God have known for generations, for ages, because the church and God's people have known for ages that there's power in fasting. But here's the question. What is fasting in the biblical sense? Let me give you this definition. Fasting is abstaining from physical food for a spiritual purpose. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to do that. Open up the Redemption app if you don't have it. There's a spot where you can take notes. Fasting is abstaining from physical food for a spiritual purpose. The most traditional form of fasting that we see in Scripture is to abstain from food for a certain period of time, usually to dedicate that time to prayer. So fasting is a spiritual discipline. It's the goal of fasting is to stir up our appetite for God. That's what we want to do. And fasting, this isn't just a weight loss technique. We want to stir up a hunger, an appetite for God, for the things of God. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." See, Jesus understood something. Jesus had great insight into human nature. Jesus understood that people will prioritize their lives around what they're longing for. Come on, how many of you know that's true? If you're longing to be in a relationship, if you're longing to make a whole lot of money, if you're longing for whatever, you'll reorganize your life around whatever it is that you're longing for. And there is no greater, more basic longing than the longing that we all experience for food, right? Come on, we're coming off the holidays. And I know most of us overindulge just a little bit. Thankfully, our church is a place of grace. Come on, we're all going to receive grace today. Some of us are carrying a little extra holiday insulation as we come into the new year. I mean, this year we had more sweets in our house. Church people just kept giving us sweets. I thought they were trying to kill us this year. I mean, the cannolis and the donuts and the chocolates and the cupcake, they just kept coming. It's like, Lord, deliver us from evil. Help us. Just kept coming. Come on, we all know this. this longing that we have, right? This powerful force. We know how much food can actually be a controlling substance in our lives. And Jesus understood that there's something powerful. There's a connection between your stomach and your soul. And what we do in fasting is we redirect the longing that we feel for food and we direct it toward God. We stir up an appetite for God. We stir up an appetite for the things of God. We long for something even better than food. And that is we hunger and thirst for righteousness. To be righteous with God, it's not that there's anything wrong with food, although we do abuse it at times. It's that we want to stir up an appetite for a closer relationship with God. Now, let me tell you what fasting is not, okay? As we said before, fasting is not dieting. Now, if you happen to lose a little bit of weight and just look a little bit better in your bathing suit for that vacation that you're going on to the Caribbean in just a few weeks, okay, well, God bless you for that. That's just an added bonus. And I will say this, that every part of you belongs to God, right? Your body, soul, spirit, your mind, like God wants you to be healthy in every way. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not meant to be a trash can. So although it's not a weight loss technique, it's not dieting, it's spiritual in essence. There's something about being whole in every area of your life. There's something really spiritual to that. Here's the other thing. Fasting is not just for the super spiritual people, you know. Oh, Pastor Jeremy's going to talk about fasting today, but that's just something that pastors and priests and monks who are locked away in their cell, that's just something really spiritual people do. No. Fasting is for everybody. Fasting is for all followers of Jesus. In fact, Jesus assumed that his followers would fast. In his most famous sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about three basic spiritual disciplines. He talked about giving, he talked about prayer, and he talked about fasting. And he assumed that his followers were doing all three of those things. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. You can go back and read it for yourself later on. He said, when you give this way. He said, when you pray this way. When you fast this way. And it's amazing how we pick and choose. Like, we like that prayer one, but maybe we'll get to that. Maybe we'll do the fasting. No. These are three essential things that Jesus talked about. He said, when you fast, he expected that there were going to be times that his followers were going to fast and pray. Now, let me tell you another thing that fasting is not. This is not legalistic. Okay? This is not like about manipulating God into doing something that we really want him to do. God, we're going to show you how miserable we can get over the next few weeks so we get bonus points in heaven with you. It doesn't work that way, okay? Some of us come from a religious tradition where everything feels that way. It's all obligation. And the more miserable I am, the happier and more impressed God is with me. That's not what fasting is. We are New Testament Christians saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing you have to do to earn the favor of God. He's already given it to you. Come on, Romans chapter 5. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's nothing we're going to do to earn the favor of God. This is a blessing that God wants for us. This is a gift to us. It's a spiritual discipline. So, fasting has been a source of power to God's people for generations, as I said before. This is something that the people of God have understood. It's almost like a secret sauce that we can tap into. It's like jet fuel to the flames of your prayers. And there are several examples that we see of fasting throughout Scripture. Moses, when he received the Ten Commandments, he went up on Mount Sinai and he fasted for 40 days. Now, that was a supernatural fast because he went 40 days without food and water. I don't suggest you'll do that because you'll die, okay? Human beings can't go much, like 3 or 4 days without water. But we saw Moses fasted. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, went out into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. Queen Esther, when the Jewish people were faced with certain death and annihilation, called for a 3-day fast. And so we see that the people of God understood there was power in fasting and prayer. And today I want us to look at an example of fasting that comes from the life of the prophet Daniel. Many of you have heard of the Daniel fast. How many have heard of the Daniel fast? That's gotten really popular in recent years. The vegan people say amen, hallelujah, because it's all about juicing and fruits and vegetables. But it actually comes from this passage of scripture that we're going to look at today in Daniel chapter 1. Now, let me give you the background here, guys, of Daniel's life, okay? Daniel lived during one of the darkest periods in the history of Israel. In Daniel's lifetime, God allowed judgment to come on his people because the people of God had not been faithful to the covenant that he had made with them. They had served other gods. They had disobeyed him. And so God allows judgment to come upon his people in the form of King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians, who came and sieged Jerusalem. He sacked the temple and carried off artifacts of worship from the temple back to Babylon, and he began to deport the inhabitants of Judah back to Babylon. In the midst of this deportation, the king actually orders his official to bring some of the brightest and best Israelites into his service. And this is what we read in the scripture, that the official was to go and select some of the sons of the nobility, some of the sons of the royal family, the brightest, the best, the most handsome, like smartest guys, like ladies. These were the guys who were like the most eligible bachelors on people's dating apps back then, okay? Yeah, those guys, okay? And he said, bring some of these guys into my service. This was one of the ways that the king would assimilate conquered people into his kingdom. And among those that were selected were the prophet Daniel and three other Israelites named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If you paid attention in Sunday school, you might know them by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody remember the story of the three Hebrew children? Yes, you remember that story of them in the fiery furnace. It's those guys. They were actually given new names because the king of Babylon had them renamed after pagan gods. That's literally why they got new names. And so their job was to be trained so they could go into the service of the king. So let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. Here's what it says. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. This was Daniel and his three Jewish brothers. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. So they were going to train for 3 years. They were going to learn the literature and the language of the Babylonian people so they could be ready to serve the king. And did you notice it said that they were to be given food and wine from the king's table? Now, when I hear that, that sounds pretty good. Come on, somebody. I'm picturing eating filet mignon every night, Dom Perignon champagne, cheesecake, oysters, like all kind of good stuff, right? Can you imagine? Like, we hear that, and I'm like, amen, hallelujah. I want some food from the king's table. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. This food had actually been offered and like, dedicated to pagan gods because it came from the king's table. And it certainly wasn't kosher. Remember all the dietary laws that were given to the Jewish people. It certainly wasn't prepared according to the Jewish dietary laws. And so this was a problem. This was a real problem for Daniel and his three Jewish brothers. So what are they going to do, right? Like, what do you do in a situation like this? Well, we're going to look at Daniel's response, and we're going to learn a few things about fasting, okay? I want to give you three aspects of fasting from the Daniel fast. So if you're not taking notes, go ahead and get your notes ready. For those of you joining us online, I want you locked in. Come on, take some notes with us. I'm going to give you three aspects of fasting. Here's the first one. Number one, fasting involves the aspect of resolve. Everybody say resolve. Those of you watching online, somebody type it in the comments. Resolve, okay? So here's Daniel. They're in this situation. They're supposed to eat food from the king's table. This is what he's assigned to them. But the problem is this food has been dedicated to pagan gods. It's not kosher. It's going to cause these guys to violate, like, the word of God, the laws of God. So what are they going to do? Let's see what Daniel does. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel, everybody say it out loud with me, resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Daniel got resolved. See, this is more than just a nice story that Jewish moms invented to get their kids to eat their vegetables. Okay? This is about something more. There's something more going on here. This is about more than just food. This is about Daniel's faith and his character being put to the test, because this royal food from the king's table, it actually represented spiritual compromise. It represented spiritual compromise. There's a lot more going on here than just food. Let me ask you this question, church. In what areas of your relationship with God are you experiencing temptation to compromise? Come on, be honest with yourself. Take a little spiritual stock of your life right now. And coming into 2021, in what areas of your life are you being tempted to compromise in your relationship with God? And here's how it usually looks. It usually looks like this. We begin to rationalize something that comes into our life. We begin to rationalize something that represents God's less than God's best for us. And so it looks like this. I'm going to pick on the parents for a minute. Hey, you know, we signed the kids up for sports, you know, for the next few months on Sunday morning, and they're going to have to miss church. We're going to have to miss church, you know, for the next few months, but it's for something good. We're getting the kids into sports, except that you're not going to be in the house of God or tuned in the church online for months. How do you think you drift from your relationship with God? Come on. You single people, you know, I'm really believing God to give me a godly husband or wife. Come on, single people, can I get an amen? But this person on my dating app just really looks interesting. And, you know, I know they're not a believer, but it's just one date. It's just one date. Come on. There's this person who offended me, who hurt me. And I know I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. I know I'm supposed to forgive people, but they hurt me. I shouldn't have to go to them to make things right. They should have to come to me. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we begin to rationalize it, and that's how we drift. That's how we compromise. Daniel could have done that. Daniel could have said, well, it's not my fault that we got captured. It's not my fault that we ended up in Babylon, that we got selected. I can't help it that I'm among the best and the brightest and the good-looking folks, and I'm in the service of the king, and now he wants me to eat food from his table. I didn't put myself in that position. I got to do what I got to do. He could have rationalized it, but he didn't. He got resolved. Come on, church, at some point in time, you got to stop rationalizing and you got to start resolving. God, I'm resolved to serve you. God, I'm resolved to go after you. God, I'm resolved to prioritize your ways. God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. I'm resolved. I'm resolved. I'm premeditated. I'm purposed. I've made a decision in my heart. I'm resolved to follow you. I'm resolved to prioritize your ways in my life. God, Daniel got resolved. He got purposed. He made up his mind. Daniel was saying to the king that you're not going to control my heart. You're not going to control my mind by what I put in my mouth. I'm resolved to serve God. And when you fast, you're actually strengthening your resolve. You know, it's interesting because when you fast, you feel weak in your body, but you strengthen your spiritual resolve. How many of you know the scripture says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? Fasting is a way of saying to our bodies, you're not in control, and I'm going to strengthen my spirit, man, for a season. And so when you fast, you're actually strengthening your resolve. It's a way of saying to yourself, you're making a proclamation, no more compromise. No more compromise. God, show me the areas of my life where I've been drifting toward compromise, and I'm resolved today to serve you, to prioritize my relationship with you. Come on, let me ask you this question. What are you resolved to see God do in your life this year? What are you resolved, church online, what are you resolved to see God do in your life this year? Like, it's that statement, I'm not going another year. Like, maybe I'm not going another year in this physical condition. Like, I'm going to take better care of myself. I recognize that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going another year in this overweight, in this bad of shape. I'm going to get healthy. I'm not going another year with my marriage in this broken condition. I'm not going another year with this addiction, this addictive habit in my life. I'm not going another year with my finances in this condition. This is the year I'm getting out of debt. I'm going to start putting some money in savings. I'm going to get healthy. Come on. What is it for you? God, this year, I'm not going to end up at the end of 2021 further away from you and having drifted like I've done in years past. This is the year that I'm resolving to get closer to you. Come on, what is it that's on your heart for this year? Fasting, over these next few weeks, we're going to stir up our resolve to serve God and go after him. Here's the second thing. Is this helping anybody out today? I know fasting isn't the most exciting thing to preach on, but I hope it's helping you. Here's the second thing, second aspect of fasting. Put this in your notes today. Not only does it involve resolve, but it involves replacement. Replacement. So Daniel goes to the official in charge of him and says, hey, like, I'm resolved not to defile myself in this way, and I'm asking you for permission to not defile myself by eating this food. And the scripture actually says that this official in charge of Daniel had compassion on him. God gave him favor. And he said, here's the only concern I have. You know, if you end up looking malnourished and looking really bad, and the king sees you that way, he's going to have my head on account of you because I'm supposed to be taking care of you. So what are we going to do? Well, here's what happens. Daniel chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. Daniel then said to the guard from the chief official, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. So Daniel asked the official in charge if he could replace the food from the king's table with vegetables and water. And all the vegan people said, amen. We've been trying to tell you, right? He says, I got to replace this. We got to find a way to replace this. See, Daniel wanted to replace his dependence on the king's decadent food with food that represented his dependence on God. This was symbolic, right? Remember, this is more than just about food. This was Daniel's way of saying, I want to replace the dependence on the king. I want to replace my dependence on this pagan king who wants me to eat his food, sacrifice to God. And I want to replace it with something that represents my dependence on God. These vegetables were, this new diet was about dependence on God. Come on, let me ask you this morning, church, what are you depending on that needs to be replaced with dependence on God? What do you find yourself depending on that needs to be replaced with dependence on God? Maybe it is some kind of unhealthy coping mechanism. Come on, maybe it is overeating. We all know how we love to do some ice cream therapy every now and then, right? Like we find ourselves drifting toward unhealthy eating habits to cope with stress. What is it you're relying on? What are you trying to fill your life with other than God that you find yourself depending on? Maybe it's overworking. Maybe it's, you know, being with people nonstop, always running here, running there. Like, what is it that you're finding, that you're filling your life with, that you're dependent on other than God? Here's what Jesus said. Let me remind you again. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. But here's the truth, church. It's hard to hunger and thirst for righteousness when you're already full, when your life's already filled with so many other things. Like sometimes it's hard to have an appetite for God because we've been filling our lives with so many other things that we don't even have room for God. You know, over entertaining ourselves and spending so much money on clothes and shopping and things, trying to find happiness, trying to fill that void with something. This is what we do. We drift toward this, running after all these things that we fill our lives with, and then we end up not even having an appetite for God. Come on, how many of you ever went out to eat and you were really hungry and you ended up filling up on the appetizers before the main course came? Have you ever done that before? My hand's up, right? Like you go to a good Mexican restaurant and maybe you order a nice carne asada steak. And while you're waiting for your steak to come, you're just munching on chips and salsa, just chatting it up with your friends, and you're hungry, just filling up on chips and salsa. And by the time that steak comes, you're not even hungry for it. You realize you ruined your appetite. Has that happened to you? Come on. I see people nodding. Come on, church online. We know you're with us on this, right? Come on. You ever go to an Italian restaurant, right? You order some chicken parmesan, some meatballs, some raviolis. Come on, somebody just felt the Holy Spirit when I said chicken parmesan. Come on, you better get your eating in. I know I'm going to make some of y'all hungry. Come on, you can still eat today because we're fasting tomorrow. You go to an Italian restaurant, right? And you're waiting for your chicken parm to come, and you're just dipping that bread in the olive oil, right? Just filling up on some carbs, right? And by the time your chicken parm is done, you're so full of bread, you weigh like an extra 10 pounds. You can't eat those meatballs, that chicken parm, you know what I'm saying? And here's the point. It's hard to have an appetite for God if you're already full. I think sometimes we're tempted to fill up on the appetizers of this world that we miss out on the main course that God has for us. Come on, he said in Scripture, I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. The Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But if you're so filled with everything else, you might not even have an appetite for God. God is wanting to give us more of his presence, more of his peace, more of his purpose in our lives, more of his Spirit. But I think sometimes we're not even in a position to receive it because we're so filled with so many other things in our lives. Come on, we've got to stir up an appetite for God. We've got to stir up a hunger for God. We hunger and thirst for your righteousness. So something's got to go. Come on, something's got to go. God, we're making room for you. We're going to make room for you. We're going to clean some things out. We're going to do a little house cleaning to make more room for you. And fasting is a tangible way that we do that. Fasting, there's just something so intentional about it. It's a way of saying, God, I'm making more room for you. I'm replacing the time that I usually spend in eating with some time in prayer. Do you know I find that happens in my life when I'm fasting? I'm surprised by how much time I spend snacking around the house, how much time I spend in meals and meeting people for lunches, and I gain this time back for a period. We're not saying that food is wrong, but for that period of time that I've dedicated for fasting and prayer, I have so much more time to spend time with God. I don't feel as rushed in my prayer walk. I don't feel as rushed in spending a little more time in God's Word because I'm like, oh, I got an extra 20 minutes today because I'm not going to the kitchen. I can stay right here and just pray for a few more minutes. Fasting is a way it's a way of expressing, God, I'm emptying myself. I'm emptying myself of everything else so I can replace it with more of you in my life. Come on, God, I'm stirring up an appetite for you. I'm stirring up an appetite for you because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. God, I want to have an appetite for you. Here's the third thing, number three, third aspect of the Daniel fast. I got to preach fast, so you got to listen fast. The third thing is results, resolve, replacement, and results. So back to our story, this official who's in charge of Daniel and the three Hebrew brothers of his, he says, okay, I'm gonna let you do this for 10 days. Do like vegetables and water. Do your thing, and we'll put you to the test and see what happens. Let's pick it up. Daniel chapter 1, verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. There's the results right there. There's the results. After 10 days of just vegetables in water, doing this fast, they ended up looking healthier, come on, stronger, better looking than all the other people who are eating all of the royal food. When Daniel found himself in the midst of a corrupt culture that tempted him to compromise his commitment to God, the same kind of culture you and I find ourselves in, he fasted as an act of allegiance to God. And what was the result? God honored him. Come on, Daniel honored God with this fast, and God honored him. And it gets even better than that. Let's keep going. Skip to verse 17. Here's what it says. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Come on. God, Daniel denied himself, and God released supernatural power in his life. They had discernment. They could interpret dreams. They were hearing from God. They were walking closer to him than ever before. Come on, when they fasted, when they prioritized their relationship with God, when they got resolved to serve him, when they made more room for God in their lives, when they said, God, we're going to empty our bellies for more room for you, something happened. They experienced the supernatural power of God in their life. Come on, church, what are you believing for this year? What's the breakthrough that you need to happen in your life? Maybe it's a breakthrough in your marriage. Maybe it's a breakthrough in your health. Maybe it's a breakthrough in your finances. Maybe it's just a breakthrough in your relationship with God. You would say, at one point in time, Pastor Jeremy, I used to worship with tears in my eyes. At one point in time, Pastor Jeremy, I used to open my Bible and love to spend time in God's Word. I used to love to put worship music on. And lately, I just feel like I've drifted. Like, I don't even feel like I miss it. There's just something in me. I'm stale. I'm flat. Come on, church. We're getting resolved this year to go after everything that God has for us. If nothing else, if we don't get anything else out of it, if we come out closer to God, then we've gained everything. If you've got less of the world, less of the other stuff in your life, less of the distractions, and if you come out on the other end of this 21 days just closer to God, then you've gained everything that you need. You got the breakthrough that you needed. And it's going to affect every other area of your life. And so let's get resolved, church. Come on, let's get resolved, church, online to pursue a closer relationship with God. God, something inside of me desires to know you. Something inside of me, God, desires to love you better and to know you more. God, I cannot live without you. God, I've got to know your voice. God, I've got to know your presence. God, I've got to go through this life with a sense of purpose because I know the person that you're calling me to be. I know the spouse for you married people that you're calling me to be, for you parents, the mother, the father, the sister, the friend, the leader. God, I know who you're calling me to be, and I got to have you in my life. If I have less of all of these other things and I have more of you, then God, I've gained everything. I've gained everything I need because I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. And that's what we're going to do, church. We're going to resolve together for 21 days. Come on, we're going to jumpstart our spiritual life. Some of you are already praying. I've heard of some people already fasting. But there's just something about knowing that we're in it together. Come on, how many of you are thankful for church family? There's just something about being in it together. And I love having new faces. And I know we have new people joining us online. And we have new faces who are with us here on Sunday morning. We just say, welcome home. Just welcome home. Just jump in. Just act like you've been here forever, okay? Just tell them you're with me. Drop my name at the door. Make sure you get all the VIP stuff. But we're in this together. We're going to cheer each other on. We're going to encourage each other. When you feel weak, come on, I hope you have somebody you can text. Somebody brought donuts into the workplace today. Jesus, pray. Come on, text somebody. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for each other. Hey, how you doing? You know, we're going to reach out to somebody in your life group. Reach out to somebody that you serve with on a team. Reach out to one of your friends that you've made at church. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Did you get your prayer time in today? Did you meditate on God's word? Did you start that reading plan? Are you going strong? Hey, let's just do the reading plan together. I'll friend you on the Bible app. You friend me. Come on, we're in this together. We're going after God together. We're going to cheer each other on. I'm up here to cheer you on today. You can do it. And I'm believing for breakthrough in your life. I'm believing for breakthrough in your life. And so let me get real practical, and then we're going to receive communion in just a moment. Go to our website. Take advantage of those tools and those resources that we have on there for you, okay? Make sure you check out the fasting guide. It's going to give you different ideas for fast. Maybe you want to fast a meal a day. My thing that I do, I go from dinner to dinner. I tend to do a sun up to sundown type thing. That's just my thing. Maybe for some of you, that's overwhelming. Fast a meal a day. Maybe it's fasting a certain thing, some sweets or whatever. Maybe you want to do the Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables. Some people in our church have done that before. Maybe there's a medical condition or you're pregnant and you can't fast. Maybe you want to do a media fast. There's some ideas for that. So go check out the fasting guide. So make a plan. Come on, if you don't make a plan, you're going to fail, okay? So you gotta make a plan and then set your objective, right? That's the resolve part. What's your objective? What are you believing for? I think something powerful happens when we have an objective. God, I'm believing for a breakthrough in this area of my life. Whatever it is that you're believing for, if nothing else, God, just to be closer to you. At the end of this 3-week period, I want to be able to say, God, I'm walking closer to you. Set your objective, okay? And then let's believe God for results. Come on, let's go into this with faith, believing God to show up. I'm believing to hear testimonies. Over the next few weeks, I want you to text me. I want you to email the church, info@redemption. We want to hear from you. I want to hear testimonies of breakthrough. I want to hear that you just have a greater sense of God's voice, his purpose, his spirit in your life, amen? But come on, would you stand with me? We're going to pray. We're going to prepare to receive communion, and we're going to commit ourselves. We're going to pray a prayer of resolve to commit ourselves over these next few weeks to give this first part of this year, 2021, to God, because God, we want more of you in our lives. Would you pray with me? Father, we commit ourselves to you today. As we embark on this next few weeks of prayer and fasting, God, we commit ourselves to you. We make a declaration today that, God, we belong to you. We give this year to you. We make you the greatest priority of our lives, God. This next 3 weeks, it's symbolic of giving this year to you, God, giving ourselves to you, giving our homes, our families to you, God. We commit ourselves to you, to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, God, that we would be filled with more of you, God. We want less of what this world has to offer us, God. We want more of you, God, to love you better, to know you more, God. To love you with all of our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength. And to love those that you've placed in our lives better. With everything we have in our hearts. We commit these next few weeks to you, God. And we believe for breakthrough, God. We're believing for breakthrough in our lives. We're believing to hear from you. For a greater sense of your presence. Greater sense of your spirit. To be more attuned to your voice in our lives, God. And to see you do some amazing things over these next few weeks. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, would you say amen? Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.